You coming in here to look close on time?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am, whenever after, if you want to go ahead and be present and then take him in at the end of the service. Well, last week, or last month, I'm kind of going to do a recap on last month. We were talking about the Lord Jesus Christ there in the book of Revelation. And I want to say, Sister Mary, that phone meeting about the eyes being up and that right in this.
Praise God.
Yep. But the menorah, the Lord Jesus Christ standing in the midst of the menorah in the book of Revelation, that tells us so much about who he is, who we are, and it has. I told you the menorah has different parts to this menorah.
Yes.
You know, there's 22 almond blossoms and there's 27 connectors. Mm-hmm. Last time we come together, we talked about the aleph and the tav being numbers 1 and number 22. And we went to Genesis 1 and 22, mm-hmm. and we've seen exactly who this aleph and tav was. It was the story of Abraham. And if you're not familiar with it, the story of Abraham, and we've seen just a perfect picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. But today we're going to look at Genesis 23.
All right.
The following, Proverbs tells us to pay attention to things in 3. So we're going to look at chapter 22, and we're going to look at 23, and then next month we're going to look at 24. But today we're going to kind of focus on the number 27.
Okay.
And this kind of helps us connect to see who we are in this. And it says, and Sarah was 107 and 20 years old, and these was the year of the life of Sarah. And Sarah is the only woman in the Bible to tell the age of her death. So that tells us something there. There's something special here. And Sarah died. And the same in Hebrew, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And Abraham stood up from before his dead and spoke unto the sons of Heth, saying, I'm a stranger here with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead in my sight. And the children of Heth answered Abraham, saying unto him, Hear us, my lord. Thou art as a mighty prince among us, and the choice of the burying the dead, none of us shall withhold from thee his sepulchre. That's how it said, sepulchre. Get those tongues out there. But thou mayest bury thy dead. And Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, even the children of Heth. And he communed with them, saying, If it be in your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me and entreat me to Ephron, the son of Zophar, that he may give me the cave in Machpelah, which he hath, which is the end of the field, as much as money as it's worth, and he shall give it to me for possession of the burying place among you. And Ephron dwelt among children of Heth. But verse 11, Nay, my lord, hear me. The field I give thee and the cave that is therein, I'll give it to you. You know, this old boy won't bless old Abraham. And to make a long story short, Abraham says, No, we ain't going to give it to him. I'm going to purchase it. Well, if we read on, the purchase price for this field to bury Sarah, or this cave, and was 400 shekels of silver. Okay. Remember going, we talked about the number 400, how it relates with the number 22. It has a value You know how we went through our, this chart here, and we said how all these values represent something? But 22, remember, we said in Hebrew, 22, the Tav, which is two cross sticks, has a numeric value of 400. And this was the price paid for Sarah's burial place. 400, I wanted 250, 375. Bible is, these numbers, I'm telling you.
Precise.
Exactly. Tell us a story within a story.
Yeah.
400. You know, we talked about the Old Testament, how it's written on 22 scrolls. And at the end, God was silenced for 400 years. And we talked about the son there. But anyway, 400, can represent death. I say represent, you know, the Bible talks about the old covenant, calls it a ministry of death. Through the law, it's a ministry of death, and that 400 there. But, and come Jesus, and the price was paid through him.
Amen.
Okay, let's look at Sarah. Let's think about Sarah some, and some things in her life. Then we're gonna get a better look that she thoroughly represents us. I mean, she really, really, really does. Number one, Sarah was a beautiful woman. The bride of Christ. She was a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
Okay? Number two, Sarah called Abraham her husband, Lord. Bible says here, because of him, the name of the Lord shall be saved. Sarah conceived and had the promised child, Isaac. We received that seed, that promised child that come through Isaac. You know, but let's look at let's look at Sarah. Let's go to, let me explain these numbers first. The Bible breaks it down, 127. Okay, it says the way in. Okay, 100, if we go to our chart there, we wanna get the number 100, it's the 19th word in Hebrew, and that is faith. Faith. 100 means faith. Okay? 20, to get 20, you have to go to get a numeric value. Your 11th word in Hebrew has a numeric value of 20.
Yep.
And remember we said about the 11th, that Jesus Christ is always center place. What's in between 1 and 22? 11. It's center place. Jesus is always center place. He's the Word. And he's center place in that Word. And 7, you know, we was talking about the Holy Spirit, 7 spirits. Everything come from the Spirit. You know, that number 7, it represents 7. That's where you get 7 from 7 numeric faith. So we have faith in the Son of God and the Holy Spirit. And the number 27 itself means to preach the gospel. That's what 27 means, preach the gospel. Okay, so we wanna look at some faith. Let's go to Hebrews 11 chapter. The 11th chapter of Hebrews. I want you to turn there. I want you to see this with your own eyes. And you know, we've heard on faith for years and years. And, but, we'll start out, says, now faith is some things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. For if the elders obtained a good report, through faith we understand that the world is framed by the word of God, so that which are seen is not made of things that appear. Okay? Number one, we have by faith Abel, let's count this on the fingers, by faith Abel. Number two, by faith Enoch. Mm-hmm. Number three, by faith Noah. And number four, by faith Abraham. But let's look at verse 11. You know, 11, we say, centering up on the Lord Jesus Christ. But it says, through faith. All these other folks is by faith, but Sarah is through faith. I ain't really got all the answers that the Holy Spirit showed me just this morning through that. But through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
May I read it in the Passion? Okay. Sarah's faith embraced God's miracle power to conceive, even though she was barren and was past the age of childbearing. For the authority of her faith rested in the one who made the promise, and she tapped into his faithfulness.
Amen.
That's good.
But go back now. We're counting in line here. And Sarah was the what?
Good
the
one.
Fifth one. And fifth, five is the number of... I'm dealing a lot with numbers. I want you to see just how much numbers. Mm-hmm. Five is the number of a man's hand. And five is the number of grace. Okay? Five is the number of grace. It says, through faith, not by faith, but mm-hmm. through faith, also Sarah herself received strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Mm-hmm. You remember her laughing and all when, you know, that promised child, but I think she's kind of doing it in doubt right there, to be honest with you, if you go back and read the scriptures. But she judged him faithful. Okay. So, we have Sarah. I said she's a picture of us. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8. And this is out of King James. It says, for by grace you are saved through faith.
Amen.
That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God.
Amen. Yes.
You know, grace, Sarah, not only in this hallmark of faith, but she had that grace through faith, and she produced that child. Grace through faith. You know, faith's great. You know, faith is great. But I wanted you to see that picture of that grace.
Yes.
God did to them when they come, when you know, when they come, when three folks come to him or them. And you know, Father Abraham, he's the father of faith. And we see Sarah, the mother of grace. And it takes both grace and faith.
Man, that's beautiful.
And that seed producing in us. But 27, I just want you to kind of get that in your mind, that number 27, preach the gospel. Mm-hmm. 100, faith. And we're going to tie this all together. And you think, hey, you know, you're kind of off the wall on this stuff. But we're going to tie this. The Bible tells us in Isaiah that we can look at the We tell the end from the beginning. So we look at the beginning and see how God puts all these things together.
Amen.
And he's creating a picture for us. He's creating a picture for us through Sarah's death. And, but we're going to take communion right quick. And last week, I can't come together. We talked about the broken body of the Lord a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope everybody was blessed off that.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to take communion. You know, the Bible, I'll rehash on that real quick. You know, the Bible tells us to examine himself.
Mm-hmm.
Let a man examine himself. Well, we look back in Genesis 1 and 22, where the lamb that was slain, it was God presented himself as the lamb.
Amen.
So that's, you know, we examine himself. Mm-hmm. You know, we examine ourselves sometimes. Mm-hmm. But we examine himself. And then we judge ourselves.
Yes.
We judge ourselves by the blood. By the blood.
That is wonderful.
So we're going to partake of the body of the Lord this morning. Lord, we thank you so much for your broken body that heals our bodies. Lord, we thank you for what you did that day. It's magnificent.
It is.
What you did is so totally magnificent. And we thank you for it, Lord. And we partake of your body in Jesus' name. And before we take the blood, I seen a program not too long ago. It was, the name of this program was Before the Wrath. And it sound, the name of it, you know, it didn't really do it justice. It's all about a Jewish wedding. And it was like an hour and a half long. And so much from a Galilean wedding, when the bride, or when the groom would come to the bride and give his proposal, he would hand her a cup. And if she drank from the cup, that she'd say, I'm yours, I'll marry you.
Amen.
But if
wow.
she refused to drink of the cup, no way. No way. And there's Old Testament. Y'all just need to watch this program. You know, things we just don't catch that Jesus spoke from the Old Testament, how
Amen.
All lines up with a wedding.
Amen.
But the blood, we've been talking about grace this morning. And why don't you turn to the book of Revelation, first chapter. And we talked about the number 5. Now, I'm hung up on numbers. I can't hear that.
That's what God put on you.
But the first chapter of Revelation, as we take of the blood, it says, and from Jesus Christ. This is Lord Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood.
Amen.
Baby, that's grace right there.
Amen.
That is grace of God, who's washed us from our sins.
Amen.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus
Amen.
Can do that.
Amen.
And I just want us to partake of the cup. And as we partake, we signify that we're the beautiful bride of Christ.
Amen.
Waiting. We've been born again, but we've got hope before us too.
Amen.
A
Thank
new
you.
Body, a redemption.
Yes, amen.
I mean, we're redeemed. A rapture one of these days.
Yes.
And to ever be with him.
Jesus.
But Lord,
Jesus.
Thank you for offering us your blood to cleanse
yes.
us of our sins and to make us your bride. And Lord, we say yes to this blood.
Yes,
yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, come on, brothers, first.
Ah, bye-bye. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Now, I'll read one scripture. It's also in Hebrews 11. Says, through faith's power, they conquer kingdoms and establish true justice. Their faith fastened on to their promises and pulled them into reality. It was faith that shut the mouths of the lions and put out the power of raging fire. Yeah. Although weak, their faith imparted power to make them strong.
Amen.
So it fastened on. You ever seen a baby? You know, you put your finger how they just fastened on and pulled it into reality.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, I like that a lot. That just brings it out so clear. Even Barack, you know, people studied him with David and they said, I don't know how he could get there in the hall of faith. Because
Deborah had to keep pushing him down.
Said, in the hall of faith, they said he started out weak, but gained the faith.
Amen.
Because he stayed with somebody that had faith.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He started, the Bible said, just like he started out weak. But he grew in that faith. He grew in that faith.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. I was reading this weekend the Passion Translation. It says, not only did the blood deliver us from our iniquities, but it also covered the effects of them. In other words, you, as we accept him as the blood, just say you've been an alcoholic for a long time, he will heal your bodies. Not only has he forgiven you the sin,
yes,
but the results of them.
Yeah.
Amen. That's good.
Yeah. Gosh, I like Barack. He's one of my favorite characters. He listened to the prophet. He didn't care about her being a woman.
No, he didn't.
He wanted the will of God. And she told him, this battle is not going to be to your glory. He didn't care.
We just want to get the job done. I don't care. Just
care who gets the credit.
She said.
But
just get her done.
God looked at his humbleness. Mm-hmm. He got into the hall of faith.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he said,
he got in there.
And he said, I'm going to go without you.
With the ruin? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He got in there.
Yeah, he saw the Lord and Deborah. He said, I'm going to go without you.
Yeah.
You know, that reminded me of something I've told you.
That's good.
Bro. I was explaining to Alicia, I said, God is a person.
Yes.
And she never saw it that way. I said, well, he's a person. You got to treat him like a person. Mm-hmm. He's not just he's not out in the far reaches of space somewhere. He's a
figure of imagination.
Yeah. Exactly.
He's real.
And I said, and when you talk to him, you need to be quite frank with him. I learned more from the Lord asking bold questions. I just threw that out there. It's important, though.
Mm-hmm, it is.
Because he said what he would and wouldn't do. He said, and that's the position we should take.
Yes.
There's this is the forgotten scripture. Did you know that was a forgotten scripture? It's 1 John 15. And it's in there. But it's a forgotten portion of Scripture. Because Jesus explained, verse 5, he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit.
Been studying that for, that's been my default. I didn't devour that 15 chapter.
Yeah.
Even in our old age.
He said, this is the part that's forgotten. He said, for without me, you can do nothing. Mm-hmm. And people read it so many different ways. Well, without Jesus, we can't have salvation. Now, that's true. Mm-hmm. But let's say you believe Jesus and you've done the thing. You know, a person can become skilled in faith, skilled in living. The things that used to bother me in the 80s hadn't bothered me since.
Amen.
And today, you know, You don't, you may have, you may not have the same one, but in going forward, oh, that's my alarm reminder. Sorry about that. Might as well want to give Olivia a medicine. But anyway, when in a skill set that you have, you still need the Lord then. Mm-hmm. He said, for without me you can do nothing. Even if you have enjoyed the greatest victories and learn all about it, you still need Jesus right then in that moment of victory. Victory is not just a place where we go forward. It's also a place of failure if you stop watching him. Because everything we do, if you come to a point that God can't give you marching orders, that's where you're going to live. Mm-hmm. And the Lord, I did a broadcast, the Lord showed me this in Luke 10. And this scripture here, it says so much. I'm going to go over the first part and then I'm going to skip some. It says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and set them two and two before his face into every city and place where he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. In their training, they receive key instructions. These instructions is the same thing, model that he'll use in our lives. Currently, he said, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. They're not going to like you. Some of them are going to be hard to deal with, but love them anyway. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. Elder Lewis explained that for me one time. He said, in Jewish custom, if I hadn't seen David for a while, I'd ask him about every member of his family. And then he'd ask me about every member of my family. And that made sense, you know.
You took me off your task.
It'll take a while to do that.
Okay, he said,
and into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. Now, your light will offend the wicked 100% of the time.
Amen.
No matter how good you are to them, when you live in the light of Christ, he said, verse 6, if the Son of peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. And if not, it shall return to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking, such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his house. Okay, he gave them bylaws, things to do. He said, heal the sick. Okay, but here they come with a good report. I start at 16 again. He that heareth you, heareth me. He that despises you, despises me. And he that despises me despises him that sent me. That can't be separated. Okay, verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Now, they learned that being obedient. They did everything that he said because authority over the enemy, it only works in obedience. That's why some people don't have success in that area.
Look at Jesus' life. Mm-hmm. That's the example. Total Amen. Obedience.
Yeah.
He was totally successful.
Mm-hmm. He was Amen. Always obedient. Amen. Kenneth Copeland said when he was led to the wilderness, that's where he conquered the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He conquered the devil right there once and for all. And after that, he just lived in obedience and took Amen. Authority and always Amen. Had victory.
Amen.
And that's something we all have to do. Mm-hmm. If you allow the enemy somewhere, he's going to interrupt everything.
He conquered so well to the devil to left him for a season. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't do nothing with this.
He went to lick his wounds.
I mean, he tried every way that he had gotten man to fall in the past. Mm-hmm. He tried everything, offering him. He said, I give you all of the kingdom if you just bow down and worship me. I give you every one of them. But if you bow down and worship him, then the kingdom would still be the devil's. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because he's being worshipped. But
you'll be a slave in it.
That's putting it plain down. That's very plain. Mm-hmm. But that's just so amazing how he just, I mean, but think about it. He was our example. Yeah. He didn't do it on his own. Mm-hmm. No. The Holy Spirit led him there. He fasted. He prayed. Mm-hmm. He got his strength from the Holy Spirit.
Always. Yes, he did.
Naturally, he was weak and all that because he had spent there all that time, 40 days without food. Mm-hmm. But it said the Spirit led him in there to be tempted of the devil because he had to overcome that.
That's right.
He had to overcome that before he go to the cross. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He had to, as some people say, whip the devil. He whipped the devil right there in the garden. In the garden again, because the first garden, Adam lost the battle. Mm-hmm. See, when he was asking Adam, where are you? He wasn't looking for Adam. He was looking for the God Adam. He was looking for himself. When he said, Adam, where are you? Mm-hmm. He was looking for himself. He wasn't looking for Adam.
But he also didn't tell Eve to conquer and tend and be manager and king over the garden.
Well, see, nothing happened to Adam, then that's when it happened. Nothing happened until Adam bit the fruit.
Because
nothing happened.
Yeah, but he was the one that was getting.
That's what I'm saying. Nothing happened.
Exactly.
I think he could have straightened things out if he had not.